Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Thank you for joining me for the Trumpet of Truth podcast. My name is Brother Greg Bray. I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Bruce, Mississippi.
Hey, neighbor. I'm so glad that you're with me today. I'm so thankful that you joined the podcast. I'm looking to have a good time on the podcast today. Let's get started. One of the things that bothers me today in the church is that people don't know some of the basic teachings. We call them doctrines. The word doctrines means teachings. And people don't know these basic teachings or basic doctrines of the Bible. That bothers me because they don't know how to live. They don't know how to act in the church. And if we have these foundations taken care of in our minds and hearts, then we won't have any trouble living for the Lord and living in the church and with the church. Let me give you a short list of these teachings. Some of these we've already covered. We're going to cover some of these in the next few weeks on the podcast. The first one, I'm going to give them to you the way that I've listed them and the way that I've preached through them before. But the first one is the Holy Scriptures. Now, that's the Bible. We need to believe the Bible, don't we? And that's what we're going to talk about in the first few podcasts. Then there's the Godhead, the three in one. The Trinity, you've heard it that way, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then there's the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Number four, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Number five, the depravity of man. Number six, salvation. We've already talked about salvation. We've heard several people give their testimonies, and if you hadn't heard those, you should go back and listen to those testimonies or listen to them again. Number seven, eternal security and assurance of believers. Number eight, the two natures of the believer. You got two natures. You got the old nature and the new nature. Number nine, separation. Or you've heard this word, many of you have. If you haven't, we're going to talk about it in the days to come. Separation, sanctification is the word that you've probably heard. Number 10, missions. Number 11, spiritual gifts. Well, that's going to be an interesting, isn't it? Interesting one. Number 12, the church. We've already talked about the church. Some of us have given our testimonies of going to church. Number 13, the ordinances of the church. Number 14, Satan, he's real. Number 15, the second advent. Some of you have read and saw the word advent. It simply means coming. So the second coming. And then number 16, the eternal state of man. There's an eternity for everybody. In one of two places, and we'll talk about that in the days to come on the podcast. I want us to start today by talking about the very foundation. It's the Bible. I want us to talk about the Holy Scriptures. There's a song that we've sang in church as long as I remember going to church, and that's, I've went to church all of my life. I started in church when I was born. My mom and daddy carried me to church. They didn't send me to church. They carried me to church. And I learned this song a long time ago, led music in the church. Started out when I was about 7 years old. My pastor put me up leading the singing at the church. I remember this song, How Firm a Foundation. Oh, yes, we've got a firm foundation. Listen to this. Here's what the chorus of that song says. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? You see, us as saved people, Christians, we've got a foundation, and that foundation is what we're building on. You can't do anything apart from the Bible, apart from the Word of God. That's what we call the Bible, the Word of God. That's what the Scriptures calls the Bible, the Word of God. Listen to this verse. Jesus said this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Thank God for the truth. Hadn't we heard it over and over? The truth shall set you free. How about that? Let me give you another. That was John chapter number 17, verse number 17. In the book of John, chapter number 10 and verse number 35, listen to what Jesus said. "If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." The scripture cannot be broken. Let me give you another one. We're talking about the Word of God here. We're talking about the Bible. In the book of Mark, chapter number 14, let me get to it here, 14 and verse 49, Mark 14, 49, Jesus, these are Jesus' words. He's telling us these things. He said, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Now, I'm going to say some things in just a minute about these, but I wanted to look at them in the book of Luke, chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 44. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Wow, that talks about Jesus in the Old Testament, doesn't it? He talked about himself being present in the Old Testament. Then in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 35. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So here's the five things that we just read that Jesus said. He said, number one, thy word. He's talking to God. He's praying to the Lord in John 17. And he said, "Thy word is truth." Secondly, he said, "The scriptures cannot be broken," in John chapter 10, verse number 35. Thirdly, in Mark chapter 14, verse number 49, "The scriptures must be fulfilled." Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Listen, he said that they need to be fulfilled again. He said, "All things must be fulfilled which were written." Well, he talks about Old Testament scripture there. And fifthly, Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." Well, the Bible, the scripture, the word of God shall never pass away. It's going to be with us throughout eternity. Can you imagine what's going to be said? Now, there's some things to say about the Holy Scriptures. I believe, not just as a Baptist, not just as a believer, yes, because I could not believe these things if I was not a Christian, if I was not saved by the grace of God. It is by grace that I can believe the Bible, and it's in my heart. And reading it, it's in my mind. And then those things that I think about in my mind settle into my heart. But here's some things to say about the Bible. Here's some things that we believe about the Bible. Number one, we believe that the Bible is inerrant. Now, that's a little word that means to be free from error of any kind. There is no error in the Bible. No historical error. no, this, I'm reading to you what somebody else said, no historical error, no chronological error, that's the order that it's put in, no genealogical error, in other words, the way God put things together, he said, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then they begat so-and-so, and they begat so-and-so. Boy, there's some good stuff in the book of Matthew, chapter number one, that genealogy that a lot of people just write off or just skip over when they're reading it, because we don't read all these names. But if you would go study those names and find out how Jesus came into this world, it's a blessing from God, truly a blessing from God. But there is no error in the genealogy in the scripture. Let me give you this. There is no error in the scientific things of the Bible. We could talk about the creation, as we already have in the past weeks. We could talk about the birth of a child, scientifically, what God had to say about it, what God had to say about killing those children. Boy, isn't it just awful, this thing, abortion? It's murder. It's murder. There are no errors in the Bible. That's what I'm trying to say. It is totally and completely without error. So we believe in the inerrancy of the scriptures, the Bible. Not only that, whenever you hear some preacher say this, he'll say, the word of God is inerrant. It is infallible. That word infallible, it's not even liable for error. Not only is the Bible without error, the Bible, you can't even say that there is even an inkling of a tidbit or a jot or a tittle. As the Lord put it, there's not one thing that you could ever get error out of. It's infallible. Matthew 22. Let me get to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So he lets people know. Now, I believe this is what he was saying, that the Bible's not without error. There's no error in the Bible, but you err by not knowing the scriptures. So it's infallible, inerrant. Not only that, but thirdly, it has authority. The Bible has authority. The Bible has absolute authority. It has power, it has dominion, it has rule, it has control, and all of that. It has authority over me, so that I've got to bow before the authority of the Word of God. There's no doubt that the Bible has authority. Back in the book of Isaiah, and before you say that, that's an Old Testament scripture, we don't go by the Old Testament scripture. Well, you should. Jesus went by the Old Testament scripture. How about that? In Isaiah chapter number 66, verse number 2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He said, unto that man will I look. So the Bible has complete power, dominion, rule, control. It has authority over me, so that I've got to bow to the authority of the Word of God, not doubt it, not debate it, not question it, not contradict it, not disbelieve it, not change it. Do you get that? Not redefine it, not adding to it, not subtracting from it, not objecting to it, but looking at what the Bible has to say. Jesus said, John 17:17, when he's talking to God the Father, he said, thy word is truth. So the Bible has authority. Many times in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, we see these words. We see the words, thus saith the Lord. or the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, or God hath said. How about that? In the book of Genesis, look, I want to look there just a second. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? He's trying to get Eve to doubt the authority of God's word. How about that? You see, we've got that. It has authority. The Bible has authority. And number 4, here's something that we need to recognize. This is what we believe. You'll hear preachers say this. The word of God is inerrant, infallible. I believe in the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. So it's inspired. Let me read to you what the scripture had to say about it. As a matter of fact, it's Paul talking to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Isn't it amazing that is a 3:16 in the Bible? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Listen to this. We're talking about some of the doctrines of the Bible. It is profitable for doctrine. In other words, it's profitable to teach you. It's profitable for reproof. That's to convict us. For correction. That corrects us. For instruction in righteousness. In other words, the Bible will show you how to do what's right and speak what's right. But he said it is inspired. It is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of old, the Bible says, holy men of old were inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. So the Bible is this. If it's inspired, in other words, these men that wrote these books in the Bible were inspired by God, so therefore it's God's word. God told them what to say. It's God's word. It's inspired. And we believe in, you know, it's fully inspired, completely inspired. We believe that. We're not going to get down to just the brass tacks of what all of this inspiration. There are several different words that a lot of different people use, but there is one that I want to talk about quickly as I close out the podcast. But Jesus said, he said this, he said, not one jot nor tittle shall pass away. Now, when he talks about a jot and a tittle, that jot and tittle is inspired. Now, we might say in the English language, when Jesus, let me see if I can find this right quick so I can read it to you and you can get the verses. I believe the book of Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 18, it's amazing how you get all of these things together and you kind of forget what they say, but Matthew chapter 5 verse number 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We might say it this way. Jesus said jot and tittle. We might say the dotting of an I or the crossing of a T. That's important in God's word. Now, what he had to say was more than the dotting of an I or the crossing of a T. It had to do with the expression of the word that was used. He inspired every expression of every word. And in the Greek and the Hebrew, that means something. That word may look the same, but if there was a jot or a tittle, if there was I'm trying to figure out the word to say, if there was something there, like an accent mark, and that's what he's talking about, that jot or tittle. And we believe in that. I believe that. I believe it because Jesus said it. Not one jot or tittle will pass away. So this thing of being inspired, even the smallest details of the sacred text of the Bible, that was originally given to us by holy men of God. They spoke it. They wrote it as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Praise God for the Bible. I'm so glad that I know the Bible. I know about the Bible. I don't know everything there is to know about the Bible, but I want you to know something today as we end this podcast. The Bible is very, very important to our lives. And here's what the devil will fight you about. Number one, he will battle you over reading the Bible. We should read the Bible. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to move you to look at me in a higher way than anybody else, but I try to read the Bible. I do read the Bible every day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, I read the Bible. And I'm so thankful that God moved on me a long time ago to start doing that. And many, many years now, I've read the Bible through every year. I try to read at least 10 chapters a day. Sometimes I don't make it, but I do read. I do read enough, and I do get through it all in a year's time. And it's been a blessing. It has helped me in life. It has helped me to live. It has helped me that when I'm going through troubles in life, I'm just settled when I read the scripture and what the scripture has to say about it. Sometimes I get questioned as a pastor, and I get questioned, you know, what do I do about this? Or what does the Bible say about this? And I'm challenged to find what the scripture says and to give it to those people. The Bible's important. We have to have it to live. Remember, it's God's word. It is important. There are no errors in it at all. No errors. It is infallible. There is no inkling of anything anywhere that would move anybody to think that it's not true. Thy word is truth. Thank you for joining me today on the podcast. We'll be talking about this some more things about the Bible. I'm going to challenge some of my friends to say some things about the Bible and what the Bible means to them. I hope to have a discussion with some of them. We're going to continue this thought, but please listen to the podcast on YouTube, Trumpet of Truth. You can do a search, Trumpet of Truth, Greg Bray, if you're listening in some other way, and you can listen on YouTube. It's probably easier to get a notification about when the podcast comes out. I try to put one out, and I've been successful in doing it for the past, I think this is the 17th week. We started the first Saturday in January, and I think this is the 17th episode of Trumpet of Truth podcast. But if you go to YouTube, you can comment, you can subscribe, you can hit the little notification bell and tell it to give you all notifications of Trumpet of Truth, and you'll get notification on your phone or in some other way, or email or whatever. Please subscribe. Please comment. I want to hear some comments. If you want to give me your name, that's fine. I would like to hear some comments from people on this, and please do it. And I want you to know this, and you people may not realize this, but you're loved. This preacher loves you, and I care about you, and I want people to get something. That's the reason I'm doing this. You can also listen on anchor.fm/Greg-Bray 8. I believe there's an 8 following Bray. And you can listen that way. Could be easier for you to listen that way. I don't know. We don't have many listeners that way. We have more listeners on YouTube than we do anything. You can email me at trumpetoftruth85@gmail.com. And I love you. And glad you came to be with me today. We'll see you later.